Welcome to the Loris Investment Council podcast, where we discuss our investment philosophy, strategies, and outlook to share our perspectives on investing and capital markets. Loris Investment Council is a boutique investment management firm in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, with a special expertise in small cap investing. This podcast is for informational purposes only. Information relating to investment approaches or individual investments should not be construed as advice or endorsement. Any views expressed in this podcast are based on information available at the time and subject to change. Hi, everybody. I'm Linda LeBrun, and I'm the Chief Investment Officer of Loris Investment Council. Today, I'm sitting down with Raymond Lam, my colleague, who's a portfolio manager on our Canadian small cap strategy. We wanted to share the history of the strategy, talk about how we select investments and manage the portfolio, and give you some example of stocks that fit our process. When we launched this strategy 6 years ago, our goal was to assemble a relatively concentrated portfolio of the best smaller companies in Canada. Now, many Canadian investors associate the label small cap with poorly capitalized businesses, speculative risk, and commodity price exposure. Our process shuns companies with those features, but we realize that this is a nagging perception among investors, so we want to talk about that. Ray, for anybody who's listening, and they might be asking themselves the question, why should I have any allocation to Canadian small cap? What would you tell them?
First of all, people should realize that the Loris Canadian small cap strategy is not a micro cap strategy. Micro caps are typically immature companies with volatile operating and financial results and corresponding volatility in stock price. We want the businesses that we own to be at a reasonable level of corporate maturity before we add a position. We aim to have a maximum of 5% of the portfolio invested in stocks with a market cap of under $500 million at any given time. We own 33 stocks in the portfolio, and the average market cap is 22.1 billion Canadian dollars. So why should investors allocate a capital to Canadian small cap? Well, Canadian small companies can offer superior growth rates versus larger companies that may struggle to grow faster than GDP. In addition, in Canada, we can build a better diversified portfolio by integrating small caps into the portfolio. Almost 60% of the TSX Composite Index is in financials, materials, and energy. So exposure to small caps gives us a more diversified opportunity set. Historically, it has been advantageous to own small caps when the market is emerging from a price trough. Our CEO, Chris Page, published a white paper on this phenomenon, which is available on our website, loriscouncil.com.
Ray, I wanted to follow up on your comment saying that small caps offer more diversity in sector exposures versus the financials, materials, energy that characterize Canadian large cap companies. Can you discuss a bit more the sector exposures in our Canadian small cap strategy and how they're different from the benchmark, which is the BMO Small Cap Index?
Well, first of all, the portfolio has no exposure to metals and mining, a sector where the businesses have no sustainable competitive advantage, in our view. We also have very limited exposure to oil and gas stocks. Our oil and gas exposure is not in exploration and production companies, but to service providers within the energy patch. We believe these companies generate a higher return and have some competitive advantages in the space. Exploration and production companies are very capital intensive businesses, and the return on investments can quickly evaporate when energy commodity prices fall. Where we have more exposure to the benchmark does is to the industrials and technology sectors. This is because we have been able to find businesses that generate better returns on invested capital and superior growth rates.
Now, speaking about return on invested capital growth rates, maybe that provides a good segue to discussing how our Loris investment process helps us drill down from the entire universe of potential investments to find those that we think will provide our clients with the most upside. This is something we get a lot of questions about, so something I wanted to explore a bit more in this podcast. In the Loris process, we have a number of key characteristics that we look for in companies. We're looking for a company led by a management team with a track record we can look back on of astute capital allocation and profitable growth. We also want to see financial strength, indicators like high return on invested capital, like Ray mentioned, decent margins, reasonable leverage, and some free cash flow generation coming out of the business. We're also looking for sustainable competitive advantages. Those are the things that allow a company to maintain its margins and defend its market share over time. A company that doesn't have sustainable competitive advantages under competitive capitalism typically can't persistently make a return above its cost of capital. Now, to illustrate this better and maybe just connect up the theory to the application, Ray, can you talk about a couple of example stocks in the Canadian small cap portfolio and discuss how do they exhibit these characteristics? How do they fit into the framework?
Sure. One stock that is a good example of the type of business that we look for is Kinaxis. Kinaxis is a supply chain software company based in Ottawa, Ontario. Traditionally, a company, a manufacturer of products, when taking in an order, would plan and analyze the manufacturing or supply chain through Excel. This is a very labor-intensive, slow process that is prone to error and creates communication lags. Kinaxis has built a unique supply chain technology that offers real-time analytics and allows for much greater sophistication in planning, such as adjusting raw materials, orders, and communicating with the distribution channels, as well as between manufacturing facilities. Really, there is no competitor out there other than Kinaxis that offers the full capability. Which is why they've won business from very large corporations such as Ford, Cisco, and Qualcomm. When we look at the financial strength of this business, the business has no debt, has a net cash position, and consistently generates high cash flow to shareholders.
We did mention that assessment of the management team is an important part of our process. So what do you think of Kinaxis' management team?
We have met in person with the management team several times, and we have found that they have a very long-term view of the business and have established long-term relationships with customers. They understand that they need to invest in the business, and this investment will accelerate their growth for the long term, as well as sustain their competitive advantage. For example, Kinaxis recently introduced the concept of a self-healing supply chain, the ability to automatically detect changes in the supply chain, predict the impact, and suggest corrective actions to avoid any disruption to the supply chain. This type of investment should help them accelerate growth into the future. Given how much value their offerings provide to their customers, we expect they should be able to sustain top-line growth of around 20% annually for many years.
Ray, is there any other stock you might highlight that provides an illustration of the type of public company that meets our investment criteria?
Another example is ATS Automation. It is an industrial company based in Cambridge, Ontario, that designs and builds automation equipment for factories. What makes it exciting from a growth point of view is it caters to two major secular trends. They are electric vehicles and life sciences. In electric vehicles, ATS builds the machines that manufactures electric motors and battery packs that power electric cars. The battery assembly system includes batteries, the cooling system, and electronics, so it is a complex manufacturing process. Within life sciences, ATS builds machines used to manufacture things like asthma inhalers and automated inspection systems for manufacturing lines, filling vials of medication, and pre-filled syringes. Automation in both of these areas must follow strict compliance regulations with a very low margin of error. More importantly, there are very high consequences of failure. So as a result, ATS has built a sustainable competitive advantage in its trust, reputation, and know-how that have been built up over many years.
Now, this stock, ATS Automation, it is a long-time holding for our Canadian small cap strategy. In fact, we first bought it in November 2015. In the interim period in 2017, the board appointed a new CEO. We've been discussing how assessing management is super critical. A big managerial change like this calls for a relook. So what have been your thoughts about how the newer CEO has executed as a manager so far?
Well, first, the previous CEO did a fantastic job. His role was to focus the company and in particular, a portfolio transformation where he exited some businesses that weren't generating adequate returns for shareholders. The company got to a level where it needed a different set of management skills. And this is when the new CEO was appointed. Andrew Hyder, the new CEO, was brought in to take the company to a different level and to tighten up operations. We've had that chance to interview him numerous times, and he pushed a strategy of operational excellence and to grow the service side of the business, which has been very successful. He's also honed the focus on the secular trends of life sciences and automotive and made acquisitions to round out the company's capabilities in those categories.
Terrific. Ray, I think both of the stocks that you explained about provide a pretty bang-on illustration of the characteristics that we're looking for in public companies and when we invest. The last thing that I point out is that ideally, we like to, across all our strategies, hold companies for multi-year periods. And the benefit of having that low turnover rate is not only are your trading costs lower, but you can get to know the companies that you hold very well. Our goal has been and continues to be to find the best available investments within each individual universe for each of the strategies, and then concentrate our efforts on understanding their business models for the long term. And at Loris, that's how we've decided to build a path to achieving a risk-adjusted outperformance over time. Maybe that's a good place to wrap up for today. We've talked a bit about our philosophy, given a couple of examples, and hopefully started the dialogue with anybody who's listening. So I want to thank you for listening to this discussion of the Loris Canadian Small Cap Strategy. We welcome you to check out our website, which is loriscouncil.com. We've got lots more information about our different strategies, our investment process and philosophy, our quarterlies, and as we've mentioned a couple of times, our small cap white paper is available for download. We'd love for you to get a chance to read it. Let us know what you think. And our contact information is there if you'd like to continue the discussion.